The Old Testament lesson for this 14th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Isaiah chapter 29, beginning at verse 11. The vision of all who has become to you with the words of a book that is sealed, when men give it to one who can read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot, for it is sealed." And when they gave the book to one who cannot read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot read." And the Lord said, "Because the people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is commandment taught by men, therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder. And the wisdom of their wise shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Ah, you who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and you say, 'Who sees me? Who knows us?' You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded by the clay, and that thing made shall say to its maker, 'He did not make me,' or the thing formed say of him who formed it, 'He has no understanding'? It is not you, a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest. In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of the gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain flesh and joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exalt in the Holy One of Israel." This is the word of God. Our epistle is taken from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to everything to their husbands, in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so we might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of the body, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and shall hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. When the Pharisees gathered to Jesus with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of their disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they came from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? It is written, 'This people, this people honors me with their lips, and their heart is far from me. As vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandments of God and hold to the traditions of men.' And he said to them, 'You have in a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Kobrin, that is given to God, then you no longer permit me to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do. This is the gospel of the Lord.
The text for the sermon is Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, which I will read now. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. This is the end of the text. The story of the Basset Hound appeared in Tacoma, Washington newspaper. The dog's name was Tattoo. The reporter wrote, Tattoo didn't plan on going for a run that evening, but when his owner accidentally shut the poor dog's leash in the car door and drove away from home, Tattoo had little choice. Now, thankfully, when he started driving, a policeman saw the poor dog's dilemma and pulled the car over. The cop had one interesting observation. He said, that Basset Hound was picking up his feet and putting them down just as fast as he could. Amazingly, his short legs got him up to 25 miles an hour in spite of being rolled several times. When I read that, I originally thought of Vacation. So this Basset made it a little bit better, so good for him. When you think about life as a Christian, you may feel like a tattoo, like something's got hold of your leash and you'll never get free. You might even think that to be a, quote, good Christian, unquote, is really just a thing of, quote, run or get run over, unquote. When you hear a word like passion, those thoughts may really flow. The word might make you think of the super saints like the Apostles Paul or John Wesley, Moody or Bill Graham, or some godly missionary you met once. We certainly hear words like passion used that way. They remind us of something we ought to be, could be, but it'll probably never happen. I want to encourage you. The last thing God wants in your life is that out of guilt, you will try to look and smell like some ancient Bible or modern spiritual hero. I say that because the New Testament describes people who were passionate about Jesus Christ, but didn't fit into a specific mold and certainly weren't perfect saints. So stay tuned. Mind you, Martha would have listened to Jesus teach, but she was, quote, distracted by much serving. Note that she was not distracted with serving, but with much serving. It was not the basics of hospitality that distracted or troubled her. It was her going above and beyond what was necessary. It was much serving that took her attention away from her Lord and caused her to snap at her sister. In her agitation, she went up to Jesus and said, Lord, you may not care that my sister has left me to serve alone. Martha was a good, thoughtful, and faithful woman. She desired to show her special guest the best hospitality she could possibly provide. She would have been at Jesus' feet as well, if in her mind there was not so much to do. I think this is at the heart of her frustration. She essentially asked Jesus, don't you care that I can't listen to you teach because Mary won't help me to get the work done around here? I have not had a chance to sit down all day. Tell her to help me so that I can sit down and listen as well. I have never gotten into trouble by simply supply the basics of life. It is when I go above and beyond, when I desire the much, that I get myself into trouble. Martha was obviously frustrated, yet Jesus did not respond as if she was hostile. By doubling her name, Martha, Martha, Jesus expressed a loving concern to her outburst. This was not a get behind me, Satan moment. Rather, it was our Lord tenderly correcting Martha by bringing her focus to where it needed to be. Martha was anxious and troubled by many things. that she thought were necessary at the time, not only for herself to be doing, but Mary as well. However, in Jesus' eye, only one thing was necessary, and Mary had chosen it, and it would not be taken away from her. That is, Jesus would not take from Mary her time with her Savior. It should be noted that Jesus didn't correct Martha until she became critical of Mary. For me, that begs the question, why did Jesus do it then? I would submit that it wasn't Martha's service or caring about the needs of her guests that was wrong. Remember, she is a faithful, thoughtful, and caring woman. It was her attitude that was wrong, and Jesus corrected her when it all came to a head. Here in our text, Christ tells us that there is only one thing needful, but he never really says what that one thing is. But if we look closely at the story in our text, I bet you we can figure out what that one thing is. Jesus and his disciples had come to the town of Bethany, which at that time was about 2 miles from Jerusalem. A woman named Martha had invited Jesus to eat in her house. She is thought to be a widow, and she lived with her brother Lazarus and her sister Mary. She received Jesus into her house in a very courteous manner. She had not known Jesus before, or she had heard of him, and she believed in him, that he was the true Messiah. When Jesus entered the house, he began to preach to those that were there and to those who came along with him. Martha was extremely busy getting everything ready for the meal, but her sister Mary sat down at Jesus' feet to listen to what he said. "There it is, the one thing that we need." She sat at his feet and listened with great eagerness, diligence, affection, and pleasure. Mary chose to listen to God's word. God's word is the one thing needful. But why is God's word so important? Well, for one thing, it tells us who we are. In this world, there are very few people who really understand themselves. It's hard for us to look honestly at ourselves. The world is full of people who think they are something that they really aren't. Then there is the other extreme. There are many people who suffer from low self-esteem, anorexia, bulimia, who don't see who they really are when they look in the mirror. But the Bible, God's Word, helps us to know ourselves better. When we look into the mirror of God's Word, first of all, we discover that we are people who have set very poor priorities. Jesus tells us that we should seek first the kingdom of God, or in other words, that God and His Word should be number one in our lives. But in our daily lives, what place does God really have? If what we do during the day reflects our priorities, where does that leave God? Do you set aside time each day to study and meditate on God's Word? Do you thank Him every morning for the new day that He has given you, for your family, for your home, for your friends? Do you attend devotions, Bible study, and church services? Do you talk to your friends and family about God? In your conversations with family and friends, do you mention that God is important to you? I must confess that I must answer very sadly to these questions. We are people of very poor priorities, and due to our choices in life, we deserve God's punishment. But let's look again at the mirror of God's Word, because even though we are ugly sinners, we shouldn't have low self-esteem, because God doesn't see us that way. No, in His Word, He gives us confidence about who we really are. Through faith in Jesus, we are God's perfect children. Christ came to this world and lived a perfect, sinless life. He kept the entire law of God as our substitute. Jesus always maintains good priorities. That's why we find Him so often in the temple or synagogue, among the people, preaching the good news of the gospel. And by His death on the cross, that perfection becomes ours. God now sees us as perfect because He has given us Jesus' perfection as a gift. That's why God's Word is so necessary, because it teaches us that road to heaven, the road who is Jesus Christ our Lord. But since we know that, why keep studying the Bible? Do you ever think about that? We have faith if we know of God's love. Why do we need to keep coming to church and studying God's Word? Well, God's Word is still necessary for at least a couple of reasons. First of all, because now that we want to thank God for our salvation and live for Him, we need a guide to tell us how. Throughout history, there have been people who thought that they were serving God, but they have done terrible things. For example, considering the Inquisition. And for a modern-day example, those that caused the planes to fly into the Twin Towers believed they were doing God's will. By nature, we don't know what God wants us to do to thank Him. We need His Word, which is a lamp to guide us down the right road. And beside that, God's word is our spiritual food. We have heard some pastors say, quote, "It recharges my batteries." Without God's word, we are left without the strength to fight against our spiritual enemies. Without God's word, we find ourselves without comfort in the midst of the tragedies that we encounter in life. So, my friends, there is one thing needful: the story of our salvation, God's word. It tells us who we are by nature and also who we are through faith in Jesus. Through his word, the Holy Spirit gave us faith and strengthens our faith. God's word is the light to show us the path to heaven, the path who is Jesus Christ. Then it shows us the road which God wants us to travel on to thank him. As the psalmist wrote, quote, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." But now that we know what the one thing needed is, how do we use it? How do we live in God's world? Well, we can also find the answer to that question in the story of Mary and Martha. Our text tells us that Martha was distracted by all the preparations which had to be made. Just imagine, God himself is visiting. The house is a mess. The food isn't ready. The table is dirty. God is sitting in your living room, and your sister refuses to help. The scripture says that Martha went into the room where Jesus was preaching, and she stood and said, "My sister is not helping me. Will you please ask her to give me a hand with the preparations?" Note that she did not sit at Jesus' feet as Mary did to listen to his preaching, but she stood so she could leave quickly and return to work. Now understanding, Martha wasn't wrong in what she wanted to give her Savior, a delicious meal. But really, it's a question of priorities. What is the one thing needful? Mary chose that one thing. She sat at Jesus' feet to hear God's word. Listen to these words from Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 17. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And who shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Here it is again, the one thing needed, the word of God. It says that faith comes from hearing the word of God. How can you believe in someone that you don't know? This is a great verse because it shows us how God works to bring a person to faith in him. It says that God used a person to bring the word of God to someone who was lost, and that the Holy Spirit takes that word and makes a miracle in the heart of that lost man or woman, so that faith comes by hearing the word of God. So now I ask of those of you who have been going to church for many years. For years you have been seated at Jesus' feet. So at the present, how are your priorities? Does God and his word still have first place in your life? Be careful, because the devil is going to tempt you to think, you know it all, so why keep studying? He's going to tempt us to sit in front of the television, in front of the computer, to say sleeping in our beds instead of saying our feet at Jesus. And you know, our church services and our Bible studies and the devotions aren't the only opportunities that you have to sit at Jesus' feet. Every time you sit in your living room and open your Bible and study God's word, you are sitting at Jesus' feet. So I encourage you to study God's word on your own or with friends. And for those of you who may not have gone to church very much and you do not know much from God's word, I will ask you, how are your priorities? You are right now seated at the feet of Jesus Christ. But what about tomorrow? What about Saturday? It's time to change your priorities. A change in spiritual priorities will make all the difference in your life, because there is only one thing needful. This word teaches us about our sins and about our need for a Savior. And then it shows us that Savior, Jesus Christ. Through his word, God gives and strengthens our faith. So continue studying, learning, and growing. Continue sitting at the feet of Jesus. Paul wrote this to young Timothy. "I now say to you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Let's sit at the feet of our Savior every day of our lives. I want to read verse 42 one more time. "One thing is needful. And Mary had chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Mary made the right choice. She chose that good part, Christ, the substance of the word that she heard. And with her choice came eternal life and salvation by him. And the verse says, "It shall not be taken from her by men or Satan, You cannot be lost or taken away. This is a good place to end the lesson. Let's go to God in prayer and thank Him for the wonderful things that He has given us, salvation and eternal life, His Word, the Holy Spirit, the promise of Jesus' return, a home in heaven, and so much more. Really? Don't we have everything we need? That the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.